cherubim shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim shine forth.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 24. How's everyone doing? Awesome. Just say hi to the person next to you. Just tell them I'm so glad to see you this morning. I'm excited. Hey. Amen. Psalm 24. Thank you, Jesus. Father, come and help this morning. Pray for direction. Pray for utterance this morning. This is your word. It's your truth. I ask for the Spirit to help quicken us and direct us in your word. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 24, from verse 1. It says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Amen. So when God made the earth, initially from Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says that it was without form. And it was what? It was void. Void means there was nothing in it. He just created a space. Praise the Lord. In creation, and then there was nothing, but the Spirit of God was there. And then God began to speak, and as He spoke, the Spirit of God began to bring things into manifestation. Amen. The book of Hebrews says that the things were made, right, by Him. The Bible says He upholded all things by the word, the word of His power. Praise the Lord. Not the power of His word, but the word of His power. It means that the secret behind the power of God is the word of God. Amen. But the Holy Spirit in creation, the Holy Spirit was the actual person who brought forth everything. Amen. Including the invisible and the visible. Amen. So the Holy Ghost, He brought them by the instructions in the Word of God. So the Spirit was there over the face of the waters, and then God began to speak. And as God began to speak, God was giving instruction, or He was giving the pattern or the architectural design for the heavens and what? And the earth. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, and as He spoke, the Holy Ghost took the words and began to create and began to fill the void with things. Amen. Now, the Bible says here that the earth is the Lord's and its fullness. So, not just the earth, but all the things which were brought forth after the creation of the earth are also the Lord's. The world and they that what? That dwell therein. For He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in His holy place? Amen. What's that? From the other side. Okay. Praise the Lord. Amen. It says, for He hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into what? The hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that had what? Clean hands, and what? A pure heart, who had not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor what? Sworn deceitfully. So he has clean hands, amen, and a pure heart. So what are your clean hands? Clean hands means your the product of the heart. Your hands carry out what is in your heart. Your heart has the blueprint for what your hand will do. Praise the Lord. So he's saying that there are two dimensions of purity that needs to be in place for someone to be able to ascend into the heel of the Lord. There is a purity of within, amen, and then there's a purity without. So there's cleanliness of your hands, means what you do. Praise the Lord. And then, what? A pure heart means what is within, the fountain within you, from where all your deeds flow out from. It says, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor what? Sworn deceitfully. He shall receive what? The blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from what? The God of his salvation. So he shall receive blessing from the Lord, and he will receive what? Righteousness from the God of his what? Salvation. Verse 6, that this is the generation of them that seek him, that what? Seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Amen. So from verse 3 to verse 5, is describing a particular generation, right? A particular generation of people. Generation, the word generation means people who will spring forth. They will spring forth with a particular characteristics. Praise the Lord. Their genes. Amen. Their genes, and these genes are not just natural, but also spiritual. Amen. So there's their generations spiritually. Their generations physically, you know, the way, you know, you can speak of your father's generation, your grandfather's generation, and then, but spiritually, they are generations too, if you look in the spirit, in terms of the advancement of humanity towards God, it's in generations. You know, a group of people will come into a season of God, right, or a move of God, where there are certain provisions given to them by the Spirit. And with such people, you will find some things with them strongly, because that is their allocation. And then they will journey, and then they will use those things and try and profit with them and advance them. And they will then hand those things over to the next generation, who will come and with a different season of God. Praise the Lord. Now, so, but this is speaking of a particular generation of seekers, right? A generation of seekers. It says this is a generation of them that seek him, that not just seek him, because people seek God, everyone seeks him. Praise the Lord. But there's a generation who will not only seek him, but they will learn to seek his face. Praise the Lord. So these are a special generation. They are special people who will get to a point where they will find desire for the face of God. Praise the Lord. They will begin to seek his face. And that generation is Jacob. Amen. 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 It was desire that produced, it's the desire of Jacob that produced Israel. You see, who is Jacob? Jacob is Israel whose name has not been changed. Now, for Israel, for Jacob's name to be changed, he had to wrestle with an angel. And it, what did he tell the angel? He said, I will not, what? I will never let you go. He didn't say, maybe I will, if, you know, if I get tired or if I get bored or something. Or he said, I will never, he swore to the angel, I will never let you go. Amen. Unless you what? Unless you bless me. He said, I will never let you go. I won't let you go. I will not let you go unless you bless me. Praise the Lord. Now, Jacob is a seeker of the blessing. Jacob is a seeker of what? Of the blessing. Jacob is the one who looks looks for an encounter that will cause a change of name. Praise the Lord. Jacob is the one, by virtue of pursuit, he will journey and pursue God to a point where his name will change from being a supplanter. Now, the nature of the supplanter, that's the nature that they described in verse 4. And verse 4, pretty much, said, he who does not have clean hands and who does not have pure heart, who has what? Who lifts his soul to vanity and who swears deceitfully. That's what Jacob did. You know, Jacob swore deceitfully. Amen. You know, he deceived his dad. Right? Praise the Lord. He used deceit. That was the way, the manner of Jacob was. There was a kind of blessing he got through deceit. But that blessing wasn't enough. That blessing wasn't good enough to change his name from Jacob to Israel. Amen. So he needed another blessing. And the blessing which will cause your name to change to Israel. Israel means the people of God. In what would make your name to change is the blessing of the face of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Is a blessing of what? Of the face. The blessing of the face is a revelatory blessing. Amen. It's a blessing of revelation, of sight, of seeing. Amen. It's not a hand blessing. You know, his first blessing was blessed. He was blessed with a hand. The dad felt him, you know, with the deceit, and then put his hand upon him, right? Laid his hand on him, and then he blessed him. But that blessing wasn't enough to change his name. He was still who he was. Even though he was blessed by his father, he still went about, but he was still dissatisfied with who he was on the inside. Because that blessing couldn't change his identity in the spirit. Praise the Lord. The blessing didn't get to his identity. So it is with us. The things of God from his hands can't alter your nature or who you are within. Amen. It will take things from God's face, right, to begin. Now we see the face of God. What is that? Amen. Praise the Lord. The face of God, when you begin to look at God's face, you're beginning to see into the nature of God. You're beginning to have insight into the nature of God. Amen. Now, it says here that he will receive blessing from the Lord. Verse 5. You see it? Verse 5 said, he shall what? Receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the what? God of his salvation. Now, Jacob, when the occurrence that changed his name happened, what happened? He went to a place, he laid down and put his head on the rock. Right? When he lay his head on the rock, him lying down was him sowing himself down. He was laying down his strength. Praise the Lord. He decided to rest. He decided to allow his nature, right? He laid down himself. And then he put his head upon a rock. Now the rock signifies revelation. Amen. The rock signifies what? Or the rock also signifies Christ too, because Christ is the revelation of God. Praise the Lord. Christ is what? The revelation of God. So when he lays his head on that rock, he is saying that I am no longer going to live according to my natural identity anymore. Amen. He said, I'm ready to lay down myself so that a different identity can rest upon me. Praise the Lord. Now remember what Jesus said to Peter. He said to him that flesh and blood cannot what? Reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So that's a revelation that comes from heaven. Amen. He told Peter that there is a revelation that flesh and blood can give, but there is a revelation that only comes from above. Amen. And then when he told him that, he now said that upon this rock, right, will I build my church, and the gates of hell will not, what, prevail against it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, the Church of God are a people who are supposed to become the body, right? When you are coming to the church is a conglomerate of souls who are supposed to journey and then become, be engrafted into the body of Christ, right? And when you are in the body of Christ, that's when you really become his people. You understand? Now, we are Israel spiritually, but most of us are not really Israel in our soul. Well, we are Israel in our soul, but we are not Israel that have journeyed to perfection. You understand? Because Israel, when you give birth to Israel, you've given birth to a people who are what? Ready for a journey. Right? Israel, once Israel is born, I mean, his name, Jacob's name was changed to Israel. But when his name was changed to Israel, that was just, he was just one man. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. When his name was changed to Israel, he was just one man. Now, when you are blessed, this is the principle of blessing. When you are blessed, you've not really fulfilled blessing until you get to multiplication. Praise the Lord. Check the blessing when God blessed Adam in the beginning, right? God's blessings. He also always said, be fruitful. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful. And then what? Multiply. So the end of every blessing is multiplication. That was the same way, the same blessing he gave to Abraham too. You get Abraham was Abram before. I think the word Abram means exalted father, right? Abram means exalted father. That is a nice name. It's a wonderful name. But God said, if I want to really bless you, your name is, you have a nice name, but I want to give you a better name that will make you not just an exalted father, I will make you a father of what? Of many. That is the real blessing. When he took him and showed him, he said, look up, look at the stars of the sky. Can you count them? Begin to count. He said, I can't count them. He said, so shall your what? Your seed be. That's his blessing. Praise the Lord. Now, Christ, you know, Christ is actually God's blessing to man. You know, Christ is a seed. He's God's seed. That God cast his seed to the ground. He cast his seed into the earth. The same way a man will cast his seed into the ground and expect it to bring forth. God cast his seed. Christ is God, God's seed. God took off the divine seed, brought him out, and cast him to the earth. And the Bible calls God is actually a husbandman, praise the Lord. And he's waiting, he's like a farmer. He has sown his seed, and he's waiting. Now, that seed that was cast, called Christ, God would not reap the harvest until that seed has reached what? Multiplication. You see it? That's the principle of sowing and reaping. The purpose and essence of sowing is for what? Is to multiply. When you want to multiply a thing, what do? You sow it. Say, except a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abideth alone. But when you cast it to the ground and it brings forth, it no longer abides alone. It brings forth what? Many. Amen. That's the way Christ is. So when Christ is sown to the earth, he was sown to the earth so that many, many Christs can arise. Praise the Lord. So Christ, God sowed one son to reap how many sons? Many. So he became him by whom and for whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So Jacob, his identity in the spirit was changed. That point where he was, his identity was changed, amen, to Israel. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
His identity was changed to Israel, but he was alone. He was just one man. God had to take that man and cast him as a seed into Egypt. Right. Egypt was where God was sold him in. When he got to Egypt, he multiplied. right, into 12 tribes, right? And those 12 then became a nation. Right? If you read the book of Genesis, they became a great nation. So they became such a great nation that Pharaoh became threatened. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yes, the earth is the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. So God sold him into Egypt. In Egypt, he began to what? To multiply. So Jacob, who became Israel, now began to multiply into 12, and the 12, and they became many. They became a great nation inside what? Inside Egypt. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, when they multiplied and became a nation, that nation, that was when the real Israel was born. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And when they were born, as soon as they multiplied, then they were ready to be led. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Remember the first time those people came forth, when God began to reference them as a people, was when God spoke to Moses. He said, go and tell Pharaoh, let my what? People go. That they might come and what? And then worship me. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So this Psalm chapter 24, it says that he will receive blessing from the Lord, and then what? Righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Praise the Lord. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Now, the blessing of the Lord. Amen. That blessing, the blessing of God, is only derived from the face of God. You can't receive blessing without what? Coming into interaction with God's face. When Jacob lay down, what happened to him? He began to see some things. He began to see a vision. The vision he saw was of what? Angels. He saw a ladder, right, stretched out into heaven. And then he saw angels ascending and descending. Right? He began to see a meeting point of the heavens and the earth. Except the heavens and the earth meet, there is no blessing. Right? Because blessing comes down from where? From above. So anybody who says, I want to bless you, and then they go and bring something from their bank account and give you, and say, take, I've blessed you. Have they blessed you really? They've not blessed you. They've given you something, but they haven't blessed you. Why? Because they haven't brought substances from where? From heaven. If heaven hasn't touched the earth, no blessing can happen. Praise the Lord. If heaven doesn't open, no what? No blessing can happen. Amen.
Amen.
So when heaven begins to open, then you create the atmosphere for blessing. Praise the Lord. Now, if we come here this morning and then we just worship and sing and then heaven doesn't open, we just come and worship and sing and go home. But there won't be a blessing. For a blessing to be here, the heavens have to what? Be opened, right? Because the blessings that we need are not ordinary what? Blessings. Praise the Lord. Let us see Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Amen.
Amen.
Ephesians 1 verse 2. It says, verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and what? Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings where? In heavenly places in Christ. So he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. What? In Christ. Praise the Lord. Now, so you see, the blessings of God are in heavenly places, right? That's why for Jacob to be blessed, right? Now, you know, that blessing that was given to Jacob was a type of Christ's blessing. It wasn't the real thing. That Old Testament was just a type. So, but it showed that the heaven had to be open, right? For the blessed things, the substances of God's blessing to come. Now, why does heaven have to open? Heaven has to open because heaven, amen, because heaven is where God is. Praise the Lord. Heaven is where God is. So it takes God. God is the one who is blessed. It says here, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it will take a blessed entity to give blessing to another. Someone or something that is not blessed cannot bless. It takes someone who is blessed to bless. Amen. The Bible calls him the blessed and the only potentate. Amen. So God is the blessed. That's why he's able to bless. Now, without coming into interaction with him who is blessed, you can't come into what? Into blessing. Praise the Lord. Now, you might wonder, okay, why blessing? Why is blessing so important? Blessing is important because that's what you were made for. You were made to come into blessing. Praise the Lord. You were made to be what? A blessed people. You were designed to be blessed. Now, we'll look a bit more about what is that, what that blessing really is. But I want you to know that blessing only comes from above, right? And there are different kinds. We said there's the hand blessing, and then there is the what? The face blessing. Now, the church has enjoyed the hand blessing a lot. We've enjoyed it. But God is looking for a generation who are willing to move beyond being blessed by God's hand, but are desiring to be blessed by what? By the face of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Please praise the Lord. So God wants to bless us with what? His face. Now, for people to receive his face, it means that there has to be seekers of his face. Praise God. So he says that they shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek what? His face, O Jacob. Amen. Amen. The true source of blessing is the face. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now, why do you need to be blessed? You need to be blessed because, first of all, you were made to be blessed initially, right? But also, we actually descended from even a blessed place. You know, there was a kind of a blessing that man was created and given. He was blessed, verse 28 of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. It says, and God blessed them, right? And then God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it. Now, you can't subdue the earth without blessing. Now, when you say the earth there, now, it's easy to think about just, you know, the animals and all the other stuff, right? The nature, animals, the seas and everything. Amen. Like it says to be replenish the earth and subdue. But that subduing the earth is not just those things. Subduing the earth is also subduing your flesh. Because your flesh is also the earth. All the components of the earth, right, are what God took them and made them into a body for man. The house which man lives in, your house, is actually a constitute. God used your environment to create a house for you. You understand? Now, Adam was wearing this flesh. He was wearing it. But what gave Adam the authority to subdue his environment, the animals, all the nature, everything, right, around him was because the one they gave him is under his what? Subjection. The moment the flesh rises against above the soul, the law of the soul, the moment the dominion is lost. You understand? Mm-hmm. When this guy, outward man, now begins to rule over the inward man, you lose dominion. But that dominion, not just losing dominion in yourself, no. Because this, your body, is connected to the whole earth. You understand? So when you lose dominion here, you lose dominion here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So that's why it's erroneous to start to speak about, some people think manifestation of the sons of God is just about, you know, manifesting over in nature. You know, you tell the sun, "Sun, don't come out this morning," and the sun will obey you. Or you go to the jungle and now call all the lions to come and gather and sit down here, and they will hear your voice and gather and sit down. So we are manifesting as the sons of God. Because maybe that's where Adam was. I have nothing against that. Maybe that's true, right? Maybe Adam was able to do that. It's likely he was able to do that because he was able to name them and all that. But the problem is when you begin to say all those things, but this guy, sin, is still... you haven't reigned over this house, right? If you've not reigned over your house, you shouldn't be thinking of reigning over anything external. Because this is the standard. God took the soul. I said God formed man of the dust of the ground and then breathed into his nostril the breath of life. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, so when he says, "Be fruitful and then multiply, then replenish the earth and what? Subdue it, and then have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Praise the Lord. So you see, this dominion of that he had was based on he's able to carry his actual body. Now, you know when they came to tempt Adam, right? What Satan actually tempted him with, right, was, you know, people say, well, the fruit was not a physical fruit, so it wasn't just that, you know, it was, you know, they brought an apple and then he liked the apple too much and then he ate the apple. It's more than that, for sure. But the thing is that that temptation, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, is actually, was a promise, really. It was a promise to give man a way to live on the earth, okay? To gain access to the things of this world. Now, you know, Satan doesn't have anything else apart from this world, right? That's what he came. He came to tempt man with creation. Praise the Lord. The real temptation was God has destined man to inherit life. That's the life of the what? Of the tree. Right? The tree of life. There's a life. The life of divinity was hidden in that tree. And man, because that tree brings forth his fruit once every month, there's a process to it. So Adam was, and Eve were supposed to come into God's life. But then he planted another tree of good and evil. That was what Satan planted in the garden. And that tree of good and evil is also a tree of provision. But it's not the provision of God's life. It's actually provision for natural things. That's really the end, the hope of that tree. You see? So Satan came and substituted the promise for the eternal with the promise for the natural. And how do I know? You begin to see the expression of that tree in Cain and Cain's descendants. They began to gain so much, you know, ability. They built cities. They began to move into inventions and things around. They began to master their world. Okay. So what Satan taught man to do is to break the original design of dominion, right? Don't let man have dominion from within. Make man such that man begins to look at everything. Man begins to drill into the ground to bring out oil, begin to look for all kinds of inventions, right? To create his own kingdom. What man really wants to establish is his own kingdom. Oh, let's think, when you hear things like sustainable development, how to preserve the planet, that's the end of technology. You won't see any technology that will tell you we are trying to invent a device right now that will take us into the kingdom or that will take us to where God is. No, they are not interested in that. What is technology for? Perpetuate the terrestrial life. How do we perpetuate and advance and increase the life, what, in this present cosmos? That's the end of technology, and that's what was sold to man. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. So that was what happened. God said to him, "Be fruitful," and then what? Multiply. Be fruitful, and then what? Multiply. Praise the Lord. That multiplication, God did not intend for only Adam and Eve to be here. God intended for them to give birth to offspring who will come into the same kind of life that God has designed for them to come into. You find that after Cain slew Abel, right? Because those two guys were allowing the two different lives, find expression. So Cain, the wicked one, slew his brother because his deeds were evil, the Bible says. And then God now helped Adam and Eve to give birth to another son called Seth, right? And the Bible says that God gave him to them instead of Abel, right? So he took up from where Abel stopped. And then you now find his own generations. They now began to what? Multiply. But their multiplication wasn't just multiplying for multiplying sake. They were multiplying for dominion. If you read the genealogy, you see that before they give birth to any child, the Bible says they were so and so years old, at least 60-something. And they lived for maybe 60-something years, and then they gave birth. That word living wasn't just that they were existing on the earth for 60-something years. That word living means that they were living out what? They were keeping custody of the life that God breathed into them. That life, Cain killed that life in himself and just began to reproduce using the life he got from the knowledge of good and evil, that wisdom that kills. So you see Cain, you won't see that. You won't see Cain descendants in Genesis chapter, is it chapter 4 or 5. You won't see Cain's descendants. The Bible says you won't say they lived and then he gave birth. They were just having wives and giving birth. Praise the Lord. But in the generation of Seth, each one, when he comes, he will take time. He has to learn from his father. He has to learn the life of God. It took decades to learn God's life before they would bring forth an offspring. So that was the process, progressive multiplication that they were doing, right? To multiply. They went to have, God's desire was to have many, many, many sons on the earth who are living his life and who he can help eventually to come into the divine life which is in the tree. Praise the Lord. But Satan obviously found the device and then he made them to intermarry. Cain guys and Seth guys intermarried and then everything scattered. Praise the Lord. And then God now wiped everybody and brought, you know, Noah again. Amen. So you find out that there's something about dominion, amen, dominion and multiplication. Praise the Lord. There's something about dominion and multiplication. Now, there's something about dominion and blessing too. So if you are not blessed, you cannot come into dominion. Right? You can't, without blessing, you can't come into God's dominion. God's dominion is his own kingdom. Right? God's dominion is his what? His kingdom. Now, God gave them a blessing. That was the blessing of the living soul initially. But God put another blessing in the garden. That other blessing was the tree of life. The tree of life was a tree of blessing. Right? If they had taken that tree, they would have come into the blessings of God. Amen. That would have produced the blessings of his face. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, Satan, when Satan came to the world, Satan brought his own blessing. Okay. Now, a blessing that has turned is a curse. Right? A blessing that so Satan, when he died, you know, God is the blessed. Satan became, he's the cursed one. He actually became a curse. Right? So his own life turned into a curse. And that curse is what he brought into the garden. That's why when they followed they obeyed him, God had to now, you know, if you look at the language of God cursing them, it wasn't God just cursing them. It was God just giving them the repercussions of what they had done. You understand? Mm-hmm. Now, what God told, you know, God did not curse Adam directly. Right? He didn't say, Adam, I have cursed you today. Right? One of the things he told him is that he said, curse is the ground for your sake. Okay? Cursed is the ground. What he was telling him is that you have brought a curse. You have brought this dispensation, you've brought creation, You brought creation on the earth under a curse. Right? You are now living under an environment. When I created you, I created you into an environment of blessing. Because when God made man, right, initially, and then God blessed him, right, and then have dominion. So when he said have dominion, there was an atmosphere of blessing upon the earth. Right? Eden was a blessed place. And from Eden, waters, rivers of blessing flowed out in form of four rivers, flowed into all the earth, carrying that blessing into all of the earth. But when Adam sinned, he told him that cursed, when he said cursed is the ground for your sake, what he was telling him was that the earth, this environment, you've actually, what you have done, he didn't say I've cursed you. He didn't say I'm cursed, he was just telling him now because of what you have done, your environment, your world has come under a curse. Praise the Lord. You have come what? Under a curse. He now told him, cursed is the ground for your sake. He now told him that I will, he now cast him out of the garden. He said, cast him out of the garden to go and till the ground from where he came. That's the curse. Do you understand? He was made to subdue the ground, not to till it. And he now told him that in the sweat of your face, from today will you eat bread. Means that you will begin to till the ground. So that idea of tilling the ground, the things we take pride in, you understand, in our natural world, in taking, you know, how we'll beat our environment into producing for us. We have to drill into the ground to get oil for energy. You know, all these things, I don't believe it was meant to be like that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't think it was meant. The thing, look at this whole issue with climate change and all that. It's because of all these things. It's our technology, right? We've destroyed our ozone layer. We've messed up everything, right? In the name of advancement, amen, right? Everything we do is crude. There's something you tell when, the way we do it. You know that nature is not happy. You know, you just need to go to the oil sands and see what they are doing there. Everything is messed up. We mess everything up. Praise the Lord. Now, when you go into your nice city and all that, it looks nice and lovely, but you don't know what we've done to the earth to produce that kind of, you know, civilization, like what we are building for ourselves. We are breaking the laws of nature. We are tampering with nature. Amen. That's why you see the sea can just get angry and just overflow into a whole city, right? Because this is angry. You know, the sea is a creature. It has its will. You know, it is a mighty, you know, creature. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you. When I went to Florida, when we stood at the shore, I was telling Essie, this thing is not ordinary. There's no way this thing has a mind of its own. Like you see the waves, you know, you can with all our technology, nobody can tame the sea. The sea is a lord on itself, on its own. Praise the Lord. He can decide, if the sea decides to end all of us, we'll all end. You understand? So those things, amen. When I saw the sea just moving, you know, sometimes when I experience some things naturally, God uses them to speak to my heart. Right? And I saw that the sea, it's not friendly. You know, it's not friendly to us. Right? It's not friendly. It's not happy. It's not happy. There's something, we are doing something to our world, right? That is not, it's not the way it's supposed to be. Praise the Lord. But it's not supposed to be so. Amen. It's because the man who God created to use it no longer exists. Creation can't find such a man anymore. That's why the Bible says the earnest expectation of creation awaits the manifestation of what? Of the sons of God. Adam was the first son who was made for it, but Adam was Lord. There are no Adams on the earth anymore. Amen. So he's waiting for sons who were created for the kind of dominion. I can imagine how happy creation was when Jesus showed up. Right? When Jesus showed up on the scene, because Jesus was an Adam when he was walking on the earth. That's why you saw his dominion over nature, over the sea, over the wind. You say, what manner of man is this? That even the wind obeys him. They could recognize his voice when he spoke to them. So I thought he was walking on the water. The sea wasn't misbehaving. Right? When he put his foot, the seaweed, yes, my Lord, you know, you can step. Praise the Lord. So that was dominion. That was the kind of dominion that Adam enjoyed. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So nature wasn't fighting Adam. The earth wasn't fighting. The earth is fighting man. There's some places where you will go. If you go to California now, I'm sure the ground there has given up. We are not producing anything anymore. The earth is so scorched that if you plant something, it won't grow. Praise the Lord. And so there are many places, some rivers are even beginning to dry up. Amen. Now, the natural man will see it as just a natural occurrence, but I know it's not. Because even the natural things are spiritual. They are fabric. They all came out of the spiritual world. So there's a spiritual response which the earth can have towards the spiritual activities that are going on. If you go into a land and you begin to sin, you give yourself to sin, you drive God out and begin to sin, the land will begin to fight you. Praise the Lord. Amen. So you see what sin did. Adam brought the earth under a curse. Right? God told him, cursed is the ground. What? For your sake. Cursed is the ground. What? For your sake. Because of what you have done, the ground has come under a curse. Now, what curse is that? What is that curse? That curse is actually Satan. He descended. The moment Satan descended, what happened in the spirit when Adam sinned was that Adam's realm, which is the heavens of the earth, the heavens of the earth is the spiritual dimension of the earth that governs the earth, which is where his living soul was actually reigning from. Right? That positioning in the spirit. You know, Adam was a spiritual guy, so he had a spiritual position. He wasn't just a guy walking. You understand? He was walking, but he had a vantage position because this earth was his own kingdom. The earth was the kingdom of the living soul. But when Satan came, Satan took that position. Amen.
Amen.
And now Satan took the position and then spread himself over creation. Amen. Now, the devil, let's see the book of Isaiah. See Isaiah chapter 20. Okay, let's see. Let's put our hands in Isaiah 25, but I want us to read first of all Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel 28. Thank you, Father. Ezekiel chapter 28. Verse 14. Okay, let's read from verse 12. Ezekiel 28, verse 12. Amen.
Amen.
It says, son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyre, right? And say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum. Now, this is, who is the king of Tyre here? The devil, yeah. So the king of Tyre is who? Is who? The devil is or Lucifer. Praise the Lord. He was Lucifer. And then he turned, right? So, son of man, take up what? A lamentation upon the king of Tyre and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum. So, he was just speaking about who he was, right? His nature before he fell. That's what they were. I was speaking of. Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden. So there is when you see Eden wasn't just on the earth. earth has its Eden, right? Heaven had his own Eden. God has his own Eden. Praise the Lord. So that Eden is actually the garden of God. So in man's realm, there was a garden of God here. In the angelic, there's an angelic Eden too. Praise the Lord. And there's God's Eden. So he says, he has been in the garden of God, and every precious stone was like covering, decided us to pass, and he listed all the stones. Praise the Lord. In verse 15, 13, towards the end, it says, the workmanship of thy tablets and of thy pipes were prepared in thee in the day thou was created. Verse 14, thou art the anointed, what?
Cherub.
That word covereth. Now this is who? This is Satan. Amen? He was what? Anointed. He was what? Anointed. Praise the Lord. He was anointed. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. What's on the anointing? The anointing is a conveyor of blessing. Right? You see, you are the anointed cherub. It means you are the blessed cherub. He was blessed. Right? That covereth. That word covering is his nature. Right? Actually, I believe the word cherub actually means blessing. The word cherub is what blessing. So he's a blessed being. He's actually an entity of blessing. Right? And God placed him in a position in the heavenlies, right? To cover. So he was a cover in heaven. That's the nature of cherubs. Cherubs are coverings, right? Even you see the four living creatures who are cherubic, you find them that their job is to what? Is to cover. They overshadow the mercy seat. They cover the mercy seat. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. They are actually veils by nature. Every cherubim is a veil. It's a covering. Amen. Now, in Genesis chapter 3, after God drove man out of the garden, said God drove him out, lest he comes back and put his hand in the tree of life and live forever. So they cast him out of the garden. And then what did they put at the east side of the garden? They put a flaming sword, and what? Two cherubs. So they put two cherubims to what? To cover the way to the tree of life. See, so when God wanted to cover, what can cover his life? Right? That was what the cherubs in the angelic were made for. They are the angelic class that can, if you put a seraphim around the life of God, they won't be able to give it full covering, because that they don't have the nature to cover. Right, so cherubims are what? They are veils by nature. When you put a cherub to cover a place, you can't get through. In all of creation, no being can pass through a place where a cherub has covered. So that's why God, what high is between them. See, he who dwells between the cherubims shine forth. Why does he dwell between the cherubim? He's that there is covering. Right, God hides there. When he's in that his realm. Okay, you can no creature under heaven, praise the Lord, in heaven or under the heaven can access that realm unless you have what it takes to pass the cherub. Praise the Lord. So God has fortification. Amen. The veil between, is signified in the tabernacle, the veil between the holy and the most holy. When you look at the way God instructed Moses for them to design the veil. He said they should do embroidery of cherubims, image of cherubims on that veil. That signifies that what actually, in essence, in the spirit, what actually covers the most holy realm are actually cherubims. So what did God designed a cherub to cover? Right? When a cherub covers, is the greatest covering that you can give a thing. Now they are covering, they are also what? Blessing. Right? When you say you want to bless somebody, you put your hand on your head, their head like this. That's the in Israel, that's how God taught them, right? To bless. You put your hand and then you bless. That hand is a blessing, is a covering. When you are being blessed, you are being covered. Right. So blessing is what? Is what? Covering. So when the nature of a cherub is a being who can bless, He's also a being who can what? Who can cover. Now, the covering of cherubs is not just, or their covering is not like you just put a cloth, a dead cloth, over something. Right? And then that's not the kind of covering. We're talking of the realm of the spirit. To cover something, our activities, you need to put a terrible being who is living. You understand? The power behind his covering nature is the depth and of wisdom within him. You understand? He doesn't cover. The way he covers is with what? There are things in him. There are things in him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. His wisdom. Amen. 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 Now, the way he covers the seraphims. You know, the seraphims, they can't see God. You know, I mean God on the throne. That Shekinah realm of God. A seraphim can never see it. What seraphim sees, they see the Lord of hosts who comes in their midst. Right? Because that is the realm of the holy place. They are the burning ones in the holy place. There's a manifestation of God in the holy place. Right? Which seraphims can experience. But seraphims can't access the Shekinah glory. Now, how do you think Satan covers them? It's not. Satan covers them with wisdom. There's a way he interacts with them. His interaction will block their sight. They can't ever journey to that glory dimension. You get? By virtue of his wisdom. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, the actual instrument for covering, the real instrument for creating a covering, is faith. Is actually faith. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The actual instrument that this cherubim uses to cover is actually he has a face. Amen. Amen. And from that face, that's where characteristics come from. Wisdom actually flows out of what? Of his face. If from his face, amen, praise the Lord, from his face, that's where it's from the face that blessing comes from. Okay. Now, the blessing of God comes from the face of God. The curse of this cherub, this fallen, when he fell, his face began to what? Emit a curse. So what he actually spread over humanity, amen, praise the Lord. Let's almost understand this thing. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I want us to know who we need to overcome and his way. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Now, so the way he covers is with it. Well, now, when you say faith, what does faith tell you about? Faith is expression, right? It's interaction. He covers you by interacting with you, right? There are things he has within him that he can give expression to, that when you begin to relate with him, you will lose ability to what? To journey or to see beyond. Mm-hmm. When he comes and begins to talk to you and engage you, and this is what he has done in this world. People in the world are constantly under his engagement. That's what happened when Adam sinned. He came and he cast his veil over the earth. And all our livelihood of men upon the earth are just different kinds of interactions with his face, really. Praise the Lord. When he casts his face upon a man, that face has the ability to structure what the man can think about, what you can reason about, the kind of thoughts that can flow into your heart. There are some things that can block some things, and he will create a world for you. His face can create a world, and you'll be living in that world. You will know there's another world somewhere. That's how he covers, right? That's how when he came to the earth, man lost every ability to even every consciousness of God's life, which was what he was supposed to be in the tree. Praise the Lord. God, man, what? Lost every consciousness or desire for it. Now let's see Isaiah chapter 25.
Isaiah 25, verse 7. Amen. He says, Isaiah 25, verse 7. He says, "And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people," what? "A feast of fat things." Now, what mountain is this? This is the mountain that we read about in the book of what? Psalm chapter 24. You remember? Remember? "See, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? Who has not lifted his hand unto vanity," what? "Or sworn deceitfully, who has clean hand and a pure heart," right? So that person will receive blessing from the Lord. Right? Why will he receive blessing? Because those people are a generation of seekers who seek what? His face. And the face is the source of the blessing. Now, nobody can come to this blessing if you have not ascended into the mountain of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, when you ascend, that mountain top is a place of blessing. Right? But climbing the mountain, there's a feast that needs to happen. You climb the mountain in the spirit by feeding. As you are feeding, you are able to climb. That's what revelation is doing to you. As you are feeding, you are climbing a mountain in the spirit. The more you feed upon the things of God, these things being described here, the more your soul gains energy to ascend. Praise the Lord. Now, you now discover that when you are ascending, you're actually ascending towards a limitation. You see here. "See, and in this mountain shall the Lord make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees, well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain." Now, after you are fed, based on your feeding, he will now destroy in this mountain the face of the covering that is cast over all people, and what? The veil that is spread over all nations. Now, what is this covering cast over all people? And this veil that is spread over the nations. What's that? That's the cherub. That was the anointed cherub that what? That covered. So when this cherub came to our world, he came and he covered that these people would never see God anymore. As soon as he covered the world, what did man do? Man who used to look upward before, who used to expect the visitation of God from heaven. You know, God used to come from heaven into Eden, where God came, and they would hear his voice, right? Man used to be excited for that communion before. Immediately the covering came, man began to hide and began to shy away, right? And man began to look what downward. When he cast man to the ground, see how God cast him out to the earth to go and till the ground from whence he came. When you are tilling the ground, you're looking downwards. You're not looking upwards anymore. Look around you. All the men around the world, they are all looking downward. Nobody is looking upward. If you ask them, tell them, there's nobody upward. We're not interested in anybody upward. I just want to look at my devices and create my own livelihood out of the earth. So, and that is the work of a covering cherub. That's his job. His job is, don't let a man be able to look upward. Let man find his help in the ground. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. When you now see a man like David, say, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills." Right? You now ask, from where comes my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made what? Heaven and earth. That attitude is contrary to the attitude of men. Well, if you begin to look upward in this present society, they call you foolish. They call you naive. You are stupid. Why, you know? They say religion is a crutch, you know. Was it Karl Marx who said religion is the opium of the people? You know what an opium is? It's like it's the people's drug. It's their cocaine. They can't be healed from it. You understand? Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. People despise faith. They despise God. Amen. They don't look upward. It's not ordinary. There's a deadly spirit. One of the greatest creatures God ever made. He has taken the air. They call him the prince of the power of the air. the same spirit that now worketh in children of disobedience. Ephesians chapter 2 says, you had he quickened, who were once dead in sins and trespasses, in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. So, the prince of the power of the air, which is that anointed cherub covering, right, he's taking the air. He's the prince of the power of the air. And then his job there is to prescribe causes for men. There's something called the cause of this world, right? Why does everybody behave the same? Why does people go after the same thing? People live for the same things. Praise the Lord. People can't ever just break out of that cycle. It's not natural. You need power to disengage you from the pursuit of the natural. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Have you watching a child who was just born and just naturally just seeks God? Just like that. No. Praise the Lord. You must engage some powers. Amen. Praise the Lord. In order for you to even create an attitude of seeking God. Because there is a course of the world which the prince of the power of the air defines for men. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So it says that in this mountain, verse 7 of Isaiah 25, and he will destroy in this mountain. Now, this mountain is a mountain of feeding. Praise the Lord. This mountain is a mountain of feeding. In this mountain, he will destroy the face of the covering that is cast over all people. Not some. Over what? All people. And he will destroy the veil that is what? Spread over all nations. And he will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all the faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from all the earth. For what? The Lord had what? Had spoken it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. So he says he will destroy in this mountain that face. That face is the face of the curse. When God told Adam, cursed is the earth for your sake. To destroy on this mountain means telling you what will happen to Satan. Oh. Right? If people are, what this generation they spoke about. Right, those generation who seek the face of God. What takes you beyond the what curse is you seek God's face. You need a blessing. It takes blessing to undo a curse. Right? It will take your blessing. You need to be blessed beyond the curse of the earth. Amen. In order to arise above him. Someone who is not blessed. You are not massively, highly blessed. You are not full of spiritual blessings in heavenly places. There's no way you can defeat this cherub. You need a blessing that's coming from a dimension that is higher than this cherubic dimension to destroy or to what? Pierce this veil. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, where does that blessing come from? Amen. Where does that blessing come from? From the face of God. Amen. Amen. So you have to what? Seek his face. Praise the Lord. You have to what? You have to seek his face. Now if you are blessed with just the things from his hand, can you escape this show? Doesn't matter how rich you are, how influential you are. You can even be the president of the nation. You are the president, but you are still living according to what? The cause of this world. There's no amount of power or military might or intelligence you can come into in the world that can deliver you from this spirit. It's a deadly spirit. Someone was able to cover angels in heaven. Came to our world. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father. Let's see the book of Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6 verse 23. Or verse 22. It says, and the Lord speak unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying on this wise, saying, right? On this wise means in this way, or in the, with this method, praise the Lord, ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, amen. Now, so in this way, this is how you bring Israel into what? Into blessing. This is how you bless Israel. Now, Israel here is not just those people. Now, everything is a type for us. Amen. Amen. Now, we have our own Aaron. Praise the Lord. We have our own high priest, right? Who is, his job is to give blessing to Israel, right? That is the work of the high priest. The work of the high priest is to help you to a point where you can defeat this covering, where you can rise above the earth, right? And rise above the beggarly elements of this world, right? And come above this wicked spirit who has entered our world. This wicked spirit is also that dragon in Revelation chapter 12, you know? He was hanging in the air, that red, great red dragon, that Satan and the devil, right? Bible says that he was waiting for the woman who was with child to give birth to her child. And that's why he can devour the child as soon as it was born, right? But as soon as the child was born, Bible says the child was what? Caught up to God and to his throne. Praise the Lord. He was caught up to God and to what? His throne. Being caught up to God means overcoming the dragon. So the child overcame him. That child is what you call the man-child. Because the woman had the man-child. That woman is the church. The man-child is that generation of them which the church will give birth to, who are seekers of God. All right. Praise the Lord. Those generation are seekers of God who the church will give birth to. Praise the Lord. Who will overcome the dragon. In verse 12, in that chapter 12 of Revelation, it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto death. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, blood of the Lamb and word of testimony, those are priestly things. They are things you need priesthood to come into. You can't come into the word of testimony without priesthood. The job of a priest is to deliver the testimony to the people. Praise the Lord. Now, the content of the testimony is actually the content of blessing. That's what the priesthood is supposed to what? To give to the people. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. So he says that the Lord bless thee and keep thee. That is the way you will bless them. So these are the things you should say to what? To Israel. If you want to bless Israel, these are things you say to Israel. Say unto them, the Lord bless you and what? And keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, thee, and be gracious to thee. That is grace. Praise the Lord. Where does grace come from? Grace comes from the face of God. Amen. The Lord makes his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Being gracious to you means you will receive grace. You can't escape the dragon without grace. Grace is divine energy, amen, which you need in your soul to rise above him. It says that he will bless you. Now, you can't come into grace without his face shining, right? When his face begins to shine upon you, you will begin to what? Receive grace. The shining of his face is what the Bible calls the revelation of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. When God's face, when you look at face of God, you will see Christ. Christ is what the face of God emits. The emissions of God's face is Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So he says he will bless you and keep you. He will cause his face to shine. When his face shines upon you, God's face shining is the receiving of divine revelation. When his face is shining on you, he is being revealed. He's revealing his person through Christ unto you. Book of 1 Peter chapter 1, it says that therefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and then hope to the end for the grace that should come to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So whenever Christ is being revealed to you, grace is what? Is coming to you. Praise the Lord. Now it says the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and then what? Give you peace.
So what will give peace is his countenance. Praise the Lord. Grace leads to peace. You can't come to peace without what? Without grace. Amen. Praise the Lord. The book of Romans chapter 5 verse 1, it says, therefore being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you have grace and then you have peace. Peace is the countenance of God. Amen. It says, the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and then what? Give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel. And then what? I will bless them. They shall put my name on the children of Israel and I will bless them. The name of God is a blessing. Right? God's name, when God puts his name upon you, praise the Lord, that name, when his name comes upon you, his name what? Is what? Is a blessing. It will take the name of God, right, for you to actually overcome the dragon. As you are receiving God's name, right, God's name is actually his stature being developed. As his stature is developed in you, his name will come upon you, right? That stature, it takes stature to overcome Satan. Now, you can't come out of the cause of this world if you haven't developed the stature the same way Christ developed stature. It was the stature of Christ which Christ had come into, right, that made Christ, put Christ beyond Satan. Now, when Satan came with all his temptations, he said that what? He spoke the word back to him. Now, it wasn't just quoting scripture. For Christ to quote that scripture, it wasn't the scripture that Satan heard and ran away. You understand? Before he could quote that scripture, there was a stature. Because if there was no stature, he wouldn't be quoting scripture. You understand? He would have just said, okay, wow, this thing looks very lovely. You understand? And then we're all being in problem right now. But because he had stature, God raised him for over 30 years to what? God grew him up, developed stature within him. So when he developed that stature, Satan brought all that he has. All Satan has developed in this world, he brought it to Jesus. In a moment, in a split second, he took him to the top of the mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, right? And he said, if you just bow down and worship me, all these things shall be yours. Praise the Lord. But Jesus told him that God said, no, that only him should we worship. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So when, as we yield to receiving blessings from above, right, you need blessings from above to overcome the devil. Praise the Lord. You need what? Spiritual blessings from above to overcome him. Satan is not threatened by anything else. You can't outsmart him, right? Even the world itself is actually a building of wisdom, right? The world is his instrument, is his product. He produced the world so that the world can interact with our soul and keep us down. But you can't just outthink the world. You can't outsmart the world. Amen. You can't just quote scriptures to the world. There is a development that needs to happen. And that development comes as our spiritual blessings, right, which are hidden in heavenly places in Christ, have been delivered to us by what? Revelation. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The face of God coming into his face, coming into his countenance, those things are actually is revelation. When you are, as you are learning the word, you are learning the word, you are learning the word, and then you move into the spirit of the word. The spirit of the word is what delivers the face of God to you, right? When you are coming into revelation of God's word, you are seeing his face. As you are seeing his face, it moves you beyond the influence of this cherub. Praise the Lord. It puts you beyond the curse. You can't outthink yourself outside the curse. You will still be obeying the law of the natural man unless you come into a revelatory life where you are daily interacting with the face of God. Amen. When you interact with the face of God, you come into a higher consciousness, right? The things which that cherub covers you from,
God's interacting with God's face, which is his blessing, will begin to raise you to a place where you can what? You can overcome him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I believe God is bringing us into a season of blessing. Yeah. As we continue to yield to him in the spirit, we will receive spiritual blessings in heavenly places.
Amen.
Amen. And you have a question?
As Christians, for us to be over creation, we have to first have dominion over our flesh. So dominion over our flesh signifies that we can come into a place of multiplication, of supreme war. First, then defeating the other aspects. Both of them starts to do with the soul journey, feeding things in Asia.
I'm just clarifying. Yes. Right. Yes. Praise the Lord. So there are two things you need to overcome. You need to overcome the world and overcome the wicked one. Right? The wicked one is actually this guy himself, this Satan. Praise the Lord. But before you overcome Satan, you have to overcome the world first. The world is the system which he produced and delivered to us, which we have been under. Amen. Now, as you are learning, Christ is what teaches you. Right, it's the faith of Christ is what teaches you how to overcome the world. As you are living by faith daily, right, you are living, you don't just live out of instinct or just do what seems natural to do. You actually take time to wait upon God, right, to receive direction and obey instructions of faith and live according to the faith of God. As you are living by faith, you are actually taking steps to overcome the world. Bible says that whosoever is born of God overcomes the world, right? And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even what? Even our faith. Well, you overcome the world, but then you will now grow into a place of strength. In the book of 1 John, it says that, I write unto you, young men, because you are strong. The word of God abides in you, and you have what? Overcome the wicked one. You are strong. The word of God abides in you. You overcome the wicked one. The word of God abiding in you is the same as the word of your testimony. Right? It says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And by the what? By the word of their testimony, loving not their lives unto death. Amen. So these are the two things that the word brings to you. I just want to let us know this morning that as you are hearing the word, as you are sowing your time into the spirit, right, you're actually receiving blessing from God. And it will take that blessing to rise above the curse that is in our world. Praise the Lord. Amen. God will bring us into this season, I know. God will help us. God will make us so blessed, so blessed. When you are blessed, you will see yourself not being held bound down by things that hold people down. You will see yourself, you are able to carry out work in the spirit. You are able to obey divine instructions. Even in the face of adversity, you will take it as nothing. Just a light affliction. A light affliction which is but for a moment will work out for you what? A more eternal and exceeding weight of glory. It's why we look not to the things which are seen, right? Because the things which are seen are what? Temporal. But the things which are unseen are what? Eternal. It takes someone who is blessed. Someone who is blessed. The way you know someone who is blessed is not someone who has a big bank account. Is somebody who can defy the cause of this world. Someone who has strength within. They are strong, right? They are strong. They don't have to live the way people live. They don't have to live after the hope that has been prescribed for humanity. There's a future, a destiny that has been designed for that the human being who is successful in this world, according to the worldly definition of success, must attain this and this and this and this and this and that. Amen. But those things don't have any eternal value. Praise the Lord. But when you are beginning to receive blessings from above, you are beginning to feed. The Bible says that in this mountain you will make unto all people a feast of fat things. Fat things that are anointed things. Praise the Lord. You begin to feed on the anointing. As you feed on that feast of fat things, see, a feast of fat things full of marrow. A feast of wine on the lees means concentrated wine. You feed on the word and the spirit. You feed and feed to a point where, based on feeding, you will break into a different reality.
Amen. You will begin to live in a different reality from the reality which people who are under this curse are living by. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. And we just begin to thank God for His word today. Thank Him for this promise of blessing in Him, the promise of blessing in Christ. Let's thank Him for that there is a great hope that He hasn't abandoned us and He hasn't left us to our own devices, that there is a throne above which we have been granted access to. And says we should come boldly to that throne to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. We have a helper. We have a helper. That helper is Christ Himself, who has given us access to spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Let's pray that God will bring us more into interaction with this blessing, that we'll begin to see the face of God. We'll begin to see God's face more. We'll begin to interact with His face. We'll begin to receive grace from His face. We'll begin to see peace and receive peace from His countenance. That God will make us overcomers, to overcome the wicked one. That God will help us to rise above the curse of this world, to define a new life in the Spirit, to begin to live by faith. He said, when the Son of Man returns, will He find faith on the earth? Will there be people who will be willing to keep, who will be able to keep the faith and to keep the legacy of faith which was given and passed down from generation to generation? So, Father, bless me. Bless me. I want more blessings, more blessings, more blessings. Release Your blessings. Release Your blessings. Pour Your blessings. Pour Your blessings over me. Pour Your blessings over me. Bless me. Bless me. I need Your blessings. 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 Pour Your blessings. Pour Your blessings. Oh, Radabo Shata Mahasia. Kalisa Prostaferi Oshia. Karen Oshia. Kalanisa Prahasotia. Kaladoshia. Kalivasale. Kalavasalai. Oh, we worship You. We bless Your name. We bless Your name. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Our Father, we thank You this morning. Thank You for Your word and Your spirit. Father, we thank You for what You have spoken to us today. Father, You are raising our consciousness to the blessed life. Father, we pray You will help us to make up our minds to go for this blessing, because this is true blessing which will endure forever. Father, help us to be raised above the ephemeral and to seek that which will endure. Not to labor anymore for the bread that perishes, but for that which will endure unto everlasting life. Our Father, we bless You today. We pray, O God, that even as we have shared this word, we are not just heard words, we've actually received blessing today. Father, we pray that You would establish us in this blessing and cause it to multiply within our heart. We bless Your name. We receive grace from above, grace for divine pursuit, grace for heavenly pursuit, grace, Father, for a small solid walk of faith before You. Thank You, our Father, as You said unto Abraham, that I am Your shield and Your exceeding great reward. Father, may You be such a reward to us.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Teach us, Father, to walk into that reward.
Amen.
He said unto Him also, walk before Me and be Thou perfect. Teach us to walk before You.
Amen.
And be perfect.
Amen.
Thank You, our Father. We worship You. We give You glory.
Between the cherubim, shine forth. You dwells between the cherubim, shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim, shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim, shine forth.